For me, I think if you're not at a point of pain, right? You're not right now, you're not experiencing that slowness or security problems. The question, of course, you have to ask yourself is, will I, or maybe even when I? And really, every host has some issues at some point. I mean, after being in it for 17 years, I'll tell you, I've never seen a server that didn't have any problems ever.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to Super Fast Business. And today we're talking hosting, and in particular, hosting for WordPress. And when it comes to people I could talk to about that, I found someone appropriate. And I'd like to welcome David Vogelpohl to the call.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, you're qualified for this because you happen to be heavily involved in hosting, WordPress. WP Engine is a company that you've been doing a lot of stuff for, and you also go to affiliate summits, and you're in charge of the affiliate program, and you've been involved in hosting for 17 years. Is that right?
That's right. I started with my first host in 1996 and been involved with hosting ever since and really involved with the community. So it's definitely something I've done for a long time.
Cool. Well, today there'd be two things I think would be really interesting for our listener. And first and foremost would be the hosting questions that are coming up. We're seeing all sorts of things in the marketplace. We hear from Google that they would like us to have secure websites. We hear stories in the news of whole hosting companies who get hacked and have downtime. And then we're getting a lot of clarification from usability experts and conversion experts saying that we really need a fast website. So when it comes to hosting, for the most part, I know that there's two main choices that people have. There's the convenient, cheap entry point hosting that is often offered at a domain registrar or some of the mass advertised companies. And then there's slightly more specialized, higher level hosting, which will probably cost a little more. But I'd love if you could tell us some of the differences of what you might expect to get from a more specialized and qualified hosting company, and what it might impact in terms of the website performance and for the long haul.
Sure. So each host is going to have their own unique service offerings. They're going to have, shared hosting accounts, which are not very expensive. They're going to have virtual private servers and dedicated servers, and each host might have different service levels on each level. When you think of cheap hosting, generally that's a shared host where there's possibly thousands of websites on any one server. And the reason it's cheap is because they get so many customers into one machine. And of course, that affects performance and can affect security and things like that. The main differentiator I like to think about with hosts is what level they stop on. And so when you think about a shared, a normal host, their job is to host thousands of websites of all different types, WordPress and Joomla and Drupal, and really anything that the customers want to put on there as long as it fits their security guidelines. And the other side would be managed hosting, which is where WP Engine comes in and other providers and with other types of platforms. But WP Engine specializes in WordPress. And so they're a host like everybody else. They have a server. The WP Engine servers are not oversubscribed, meaning they don't have thousands of websites. And that's one of the things that makes them a premium service and makes the service fast. But the main value that WP Engine provides as a host, as a managed host, is that they help manage the application level of WordPress, meaning they help keep it up to date, they help keep it secure, and then combined with that, they optimize their software and their hardware and their caching environment for WordPress specifically. So another host that hosts all kinds of different sites can't do that level of optimization because they would affect other types of platforms. WP Engine, because they only focus on WordPress, can optimize every part of the process just for WordPress. So that's how I like to think of the differences between hosts.
All right, so you're talking pure specialist. And when you specialize in just WordPress, I think I read a stat that it's something like a quarter of all websites are WordPress. Is that somewhere around the number?
The numbers I've seen, the last numbers I saw that I believe they came actually from Automattic, I'm not sure if they've released updated numbers, but it was 1 in 5 new websites were WordPress. I believe that stat. I think even in certain contexts, it's actually much, much higher. In the affiliate marketing space in particular, I would think that 3 to 4 out of new websites are done in WordPress. So I think it depends a little bit on your niche. There's a lot of people out there doing, you know, .NET sites, which is a different kind of programming language, and e-commerce sites that don't use WordPress. But in certain contexts, especially content-oriented sites, WordPress is definitely dominant.
Yeah, and we started out our WordPress development just to focus on WordPress. And the only exception we've added recently was just for e-commerce, where someone wants a bigger, more customized or specialized store. But WordPress has been the dominant force in our space for sure. And one of the things we've noticed when we're developing on WordPress for customers who are using WP Engine hosting is that we're able to develop in the staging environment. I'd love it if you could talk us through what staging is, because I think it's a wonderful feature.
Yeah, and this is one of the things I like most about WP Engine, dealing with affiliates who are, you know, single people or not, don't have a dev staff available. A lot of people do what I like to call cowboy code, where they make changes to their live site. They don't, you know, they do things in a live environment. Well, that's very, very risky. So it's one thing maybe to do a post or a page, a very simple text page, creating that on your live environment. But it's another thing to be doing things like updating your plugins, making big changes to your site, big changes to your structure, and doing that in a live environment. So one of the features that WP Engine has, and it's super easy, there's a one-click staging environment. With one click, you can make a copy of your website and then make the changes you're going to make, make sure it doesn't break anything. And then again, with one click, basically being able to publish that live. And so you have a copy of your website. You can do whatever you want on, mess it up, try new things. And then when you get it all settled, push it live. If you miss something and you still push something up that was going to break your site or cause problems, you can hit a restore point. There's automatic backups. There's the ability to do a one-click backup to instantly kind of take a snapshot of your site. And you can revert back to that even if you publish something live that you shouldn't have, even if you missed it in staging.
Yeah, that's a great feature. And the restore point's a peace of mind. So do you have to have other types of backup, or is it enough to have it just backed up there? I think, for example, one of the plugins that's on your forbidden plugin list, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is one that a lot of people use for backups. Is it redundant?
I'm not sure specifically what plugin you're talking about or the decision that was made to have it on the ban list, but there's two reasons they'll be on the list. One is that they are redundant, which is probably the case here. If it's a very popular plugin, obviously a lot of people find value in it. But again, with the backup solution the WP Engine provides, it could be that that plugin was redundant, possibly with an existing feature, or possibly conflicted with the feature of the platform. The other reason would be if it was a security issue, but it sounds like from the popularity that you're referencing that it's probably the former.
Yeah. And so let's talk about plugins. And, you know, that's one of the most exciting and wonderful things for a WordPress website owner, is to start uploading all these crazy plugins to do everything. It's like discovering that you can fit extra cup holders to your car with no cost in many cases. But there are plugins that are not good for your website and that shouldn't be installed in your environment. Have you found that you've got a reasonable balance between functionality and security?
I believe so. I mean, as you pointed out, you know, getting crazy with the plugins you install can have a performance hit on your site in general. But having the wrong plugin on your site not only can cause performance issues like excessive database queries, security issues, which can have a disastrous effect on your site. Your site could be hijacked and be used to distribute malware. I had a buddy once, he had his site hacked from a bad plugin, and they had injected hidden links in his site to adult sites, and Google started to associate his site with that part of the web, which wasn't good for his SEO. And there's a lot of trouble you can get into there. And so by having this directory of plugins where we found those problems or found them to have performance issues, it's just one more fail-safe for you when you're installing plugins to know that there's an extra level of security there. So that way, if there's something we know about, we're helping to make sure that you're not putting it on your site and it's causing a security problem or performance issue. That being said, you should always vet your plugins, even with this list that we maintain.
Right. And as a hosting expert for 17 years, I imagine you would have an opinion on the state of the security of most people out there, especially people who aren't on that platform, I'd say they'd be running a somewhat risky setup, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, WordPress does, for the most part, for most people, auto update. So WordPress itself these days tends to be updated most of the time with most people's sites. I think the one area people have the most exposure are going to be, again, outdated plugins. You know, when you have a plugin running on your site and you're not running the updates for it, if there's security patches, your site is vulnerable. Many hosts do sweep for well-known common vulnerabilities, but you know, that's not a guarantee that it's going to get picked up. What WP Engine does is, you know, make sure that WordPress is updated. They do it in a very scaled and planned manner. So they it's not just auto-updated. It's planned, it's staged, it's done across multiple servers. And then if they do discover a plugin that causes a security concern, they will detect it and then alert you to the fact that it's there.
Yeah, that's a handy feature. So while we're on the security thing,
yeah,
Google tell us they want to have secure sites, SSL. Is that something we could have on WP Engine?
You absolutely can. There is the ability to add SSL to your account. It's very easy to do. You know, should you run out and do SSL on all your sites? I'm not sure. I think that the jury is still out on the weight of that in the algorithm from Google. It is weighted in some way, but I wouldn't expect that you go through SSL on your site and all of a sudden you're going to jump 2 points. But absolutely, you can add SSL to your account on WP Engine.
Yeah, my opinion is that it's not really worth it for most people. Unless they're a very big company, processing payments, et cetera, it's not something that they need to worry about just yet. Okay, so let's talk about migration. How do we get our site to WP Engine if we have it somewhere else?
So that's actually super easy. What you do is once you get signed up, you'll contact support and they'll put you in touch with partners who have been working with our support team to integrate their processes to make sure your migration is as smooth and simple as possible.
Nice. And anyone using our website development service, we migrate for free as well, especially to WP Engine. We've done so many now. That's something we're good at. How important is speed for websites?
Speed is incredibly important. I spoke about this actually at PubCon last year in the hosting session, and we covered was the different impacts that speed had on your site. First of all, it can have an influence on the ranking algorithm in Google. It's a little bit contested. If you hear Matt Cutts talk about it, on one hand, he'll say, oh, it's really important. And then on the other hand, he'll say, you know, 1 in 1,000 sites might be affected by site speed. But what site speed with the speed of your site, what it influences are things that can have a big impact on things like your SEO. For starters, it can affect the number of visitors that stick around on your site and read lots of content, which can affect the number of people linking to the site, engaging with your site in social media. You know, certainly if there's people who might be blogging about your site, they might, again, not stick around. Of course, this has huge impacts on your conversion rates. You know, every second of load time that it takes for your site to load drastically decreases your conversion rates. And so it has an impact on, you know, the community of links that come into your site, which has an impact on your SEO, it also has an impact on your ability to convert visitors into paying customers or to get them to click through to an affiliate offer or something. It's extremely important. And there's lots and lots of studies that illustrate the reduction in conversion rates and the reduction in user engagement that a slow loading site can cause.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you on that. I prioritize speed for our own sites. Now, what I'm interested in, for anyone slightly technically inclined, what are some of the things that WP Engine does that help that speed?
So the first would be the way that the hosting environment is optimized. Everything is optimized around caching. If you are technically inclined, by the way, I'm not a systems engineer, so I'll qualify that right now.
Neither am I. So I wouldn't even know if you tell me anything that's not right. But
yeah, I can. I've been in the business a long time, been involved with a lot of different types of hosting environments, data center business, all that. But the main focus of the WP Engine platform is around caching. So the hosting accounts come with a CDN. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a content distribution network. And basically what it means is there's computers all around the world that help distribute your content, your static content to visitors. So it's not just hitting the WP Engine servers, it's hitting all these little servers all around the world. That's a content distribution network that supports WP Engine, the host. At the host level, the infrastructure or the hosting environment is set up so that everything remains in what's called a cache state, meaning that it's not as much as possible, not hitting the hard drive. It's staying essentially in the the caching infrastructure and the memory. And so the entire system is optimized around that and optimized specifically for WordPress. If you go to wp-engine.com and look on the, I think it's actually the About Us section or the support section, there's details about how the infrastructure works.
Nice.
But just from a real general sense, it's about caching. It's about, you know, keeping everything in memory, keeping everything right there, quickly accessible and ready for the users.
And close to the user because of this worldwide distribution, right? It's serve it from a close to where the consumer is.
Oh yeah, CDNs are gold. They will really speed up your website. Even on a slow host, you can put a CDN on it to help speed it up. The great thing though about the WP Engine CDN is it's all integrated in. If you're on another host and you want to put a CDN on your site, depending on the host, what you'll have to do is install another plugin, something like W3 Total Cache, and then you have to configure it essentially to work with your CDN. It's a little technical, so if you're not a developer, you might need a little help. They do have a really great support group run by a guy known Willie Jackson, but and they're a great plugin. But with the WP Engine platform, it's already integrated in.
Much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So have there been any, if you were to bump into someone at one of these conferences and they came up to you and said, David, I'm thinking of moving my site, what would be the sort of things that you would ask them or prompt them to take into consideration the right solution for them? Just the top few things that you might discuss with them.
About why they should move their site?
Yeah. If they're experiencing some, like I know most people on a big shared server, they're going to have a little bit of site outage. They're going to have, occasionally they'll exceed their bandwidth or it'll be slow to load. Maybe they're getting malware things pop up on any monitoring tool. What would be the main conversation you have with someone around this idea of moving to potentially a more expensive hosting solution?
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, for me, I think if you're not at a point of pain, right? You're not right now, you're not experiencing that slowness or security problems, you know, the question, of course, you have to ask yourself is, will I, or maybe even when I, and really every host has some issues at some point. I mean, after being in it for 17 years, I'll tell you, I've never seen a server that didn't have any problems ever. The question is, what type of service are you going to get and what type of infrastructure do they have behind it and how is it optimized and how is their team optimized? And that's why, you know, I like WP Engine because, you know, everything's kind of centered around WordPress. But the scenarios, I think, like if you're in a pain point, I'll tell you my pain point, I guess, how I came to WP Engine. I was at Affiliate Summit in New York, and the Friday before I left, my site went down. And all weekend long, it was unavailable. And I was at one of those cheaper hosts that was a, you know, big shared farm. And it was right around the time I had launched the site. And so I had kind of cheap hosting because it didn't really matter at the time. Well, I'm at a conference, of course, where I'm trying to tell people about my business. And my site's down. And the host isn't picking up the phone and they're escalating it to, you know, they're telling me they're escalating it. And it finally gets to quote level 3 or whatever. And they're on a team building exercise all weekend and I can't get in touch with anybody. So Monday rolls around and I finally get the level 3 guy on the phone. I've been at the conference all weekend and he goes, well, sir, your website got really popular and it took down our whole server. It took down the one server I was on. It took down the server. You know what that did? It took down every other website on that server. It took every single one down. So not only did my site go down while this was happening, you know, how many other sites, thousands, whatever, or hundreds, whatever it was, went down at the same time. So that was annoying for them. It certainly was annoying for me. And then I said, well, no, my website didn't get that popular. It wasn't that kind of website. It didn't get put on TechCrunch. I knew it wasn't that popular. And so I said, no, that's not it. I said, it's probably a denial of service attack. You know, I've been in hosting for a long time, so I kind of knew the story. And I said, check the IP addresses. He looks at them and says, oh, yeah, look at this. They're all from, you know, overseas or whatever. And sure enough, it is a denial of service attack. I offered any amount of money for them to fix it. They had no solution for me at all. I moved over to WP Engine that day. They had become a client of mine and I, you know, hadn't necessarily started hosting with them yet, but I called them up and said, hey, is this, you know, can you guys help? And they could. In that case, and not, of course, not every case is the same, but in that case, they got me up within, I want to say like 4 hours. And we were still faster than where we were before, even though the attack was still occurring and they were able to negate the attack or whatever. But that was my experience, and that's what brought me to WP Engine. So I went from a host where I was paying like, you know, $8 a month or something to a host where I was paying whatever it is at the time. It was like $30. I think it was even higher at the time because I had a lower minimum account. And yeah, it was a difference, right? It was like $240 a year, but I would have gladly paid the $240 to have my website up that weekend. So that's my story. And I think that's a lot of people's story is like you look at a host that's low cost and you're like, oh, it's only $6 a month or whatever. But that time you need it, it's worth the 200, 300, whatever it is, you know, up to a point, of course, but it's worth that extra money to have that peace of mind, to know that you have some provider there that can have your back when something like that goes down.
That's true. It's similar to mine, except that I upgraded to dedicated serving with my original supplier. Actually, my second one. The first one was horrible. It was in Australia, and they were never available because they were just reselling someone in another country's stuff, and they were hopeless. And then I went to a much bigger one, and I paid the money for the dedicated servers, but then that went offline for quite some time, and they wouldn't even reply to a ticket, like for a day or something. And then I went to a different provider. So that's why I think, you know, the small outlay extra – to have all of these things, to have staging, to have security, to have, you know, a curated list of plugins, to have the cloud serving of your website and proper caching is really saving you money, because you're going to make more when people can find your website, when it's up, it's not hacked, and it's serving things quickly, and it's available to them conveniently. And you can also make changes without destroying the experience for everyone at once. So it makes sense for a lot of reasons. So you've been super generous with your hosting information. I can't help but ask you a question, because we have so many people interested in affiliate marketing. You've been with the WP Engine side of things since there were only three employees. What have been some of the interesting observations you've had from having affiliates driving this business? And I'll also put a link right near this podcast where you can join or apply to be an affiliate of the WP Engine. If you happen to be an affiliate and you like the sound of it and you want to promote this, then I'll put a link there. But tell me some of the interesting things from the point of view of affiliate, having an affiliate program.
I think the most interesting thing for me is really kind of working with people to understand how to promote an affiliate offer. A lot of that times it's actually in a WordPress context, which is actually really closely aligned with the work that I do. And so, we basically run WP Engine's affiliate program. And so part of our activities is to kind of help affiliates learn how to promote the program and how to integrate the offers into their site. And I think the thing that's most interesting to me and like how it's evolved, not necessarily just in the context of WP Engine, but, you know, all the time I've been doing it, has been the more contextual nature of affiliate marketing, how, you know, it's not just throwing a banner ad up somewhere, but it's being smart about how you promote things and how you integrate in your offers into your existing content, you know, your emails and things like that, and doing it in a respectful way, right? You don't want to come in and just like hit your users over the head with a bunch of ads or offers. Like, you want to do it in a way that provides value to them. And I think that, you know, if we look at things like SEO and how it's evolving around content and providing valuable content for the user, I think the same kind of thing is going on with affiliate marketing, where it's not just throwing up some links, but actually giving some value along with the offers you promote.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that's why I like to have podcasts like this. I want to add more value for consumers. And not everyone is a buyer, but it's still educating people about what's good in the marketplace and why they might want to make some certain decisions to assist that. So, David, you've been so generous with your time. I want to thank you on behalf of a listener for filling us in on this information. I know that's what we recommend for our WordPress website development customers. WP Engine is the program that we refer people to. We'll actually send them to this recording to find out more about why we recommend that. So thanks for giving us information and spending the time with us today.
Thanks for having me, James. It was a lot of fun.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.